7:10, the aforementioned Congressman Cory Gardner, newly re-elected, I should say, newly re-elected. Welcome to Kelly and Company once again, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. And the good news about the weatherman rule is Congress would never get paid either.
that's right. Hey, I'm with some of my colleagues that are saying, you guys, with all due respect, and I like you as a person, Cory, but you should not get a vacation until this is worked out. You stay in the chambers until you come to some sort of understanding or not.
Well, and I'm going to be telling the exact same thing to Speaker Boehner this morning, that, you know, whether it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it doesn't matter what time it is, what day it is, how close to Christmas it is or New Year's Eve. This needs to get done. It needs to be solved for the American people. That's our job, and that's what we've got to do until the last hour of December 31st.
In the Godfather, they call it going to the mats. You got to go.
That's what we've got to do.
The mattresses. All right.
You're really, right, Cory.
Okay, so is it as...
There are some members of Congress studio, well, never mind.
Am I so dense as to, or simplistic, when it comes to, look, and we asked our listeners this the other morning, is it more taxes or less spending? I would assume it's a little bit of both. The House has passed, you know, the cut, cap, and balance thing with Paul Ryan. It didn't go through the Senate. Listen, you can't tax your way out of the problem. You have to talk about spending. Are you guys willing to cave in if spending is not a major component of this new budget?
Look, we're in this mess not because of taxes. We're in this mess because of spending. Every American man, woman, and child owes $52,000 as their share of the federal debt. The president's proposed tax increase would fund the government for 8.5 days. Just 8.5 days, yet it'd kill over 700,000 jobs. Middle-class wages, working families would see their wages drop by about 2%, and it would fund government for 8 days. We're here because of spending. We've got to cut spending, grow the economy. The tax increases are not the solution.
Why do you guys seem to be losing the PR battle? I mean, it's so easy to blame a Republican, but it seems to stick to you.
Well, it's tough. We've got to do a better job of messaging and explaining to people who are in the middle class, people who are lower income earners, that the people who will be affected by this tax increase are the people like you, people who are working hard to make ends meet, people who are struggling to pay the mortgage, because their businesses are going to be hard hit. They're going to that's going to result in lower take home pay because the business they work with is suffering and struggling to bear the burden of the tax increases. That's the bottom line. And so the president controls a bully pulpit, regardless of who it is in the White House, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. They have a tremendous opportunity to shape the outlines of the message.
Let me correct you, Congressman. I don't mean to correct you, but I don't work very hard. So just so we're clear on that one.
That's true.
This morning, a new $63 per head fee to cushion the cost of covering people with pre-existing conditions under President Barack Obama's new health care overhaul. This comes as a shock to everybody. What say you?
I say that they should have seen this coming because we knew that the health care bill was going to be very, very costly, that there were a lot of things that were in it that were going to jump out at people that they weren't expecting. And so here we are, tens of millions of dollars for many businesses around this country.
Where are we at with Benghazi, Fast and Furious? Are you guys just going to basically let that go away because it's so far down the river? And should you? I think I know the answer, no, but really, do you think the American public really cares, unfortunately?
Well, I do think the American public cares, and we have an obligation to find the answers. That's why the nomination for Susan Rice, or the possible nomination of Susan Rice as the next Secretary of State, has created so much attention, and that's why we will continue to hold this administration's feet to the fire on failed policies like Fast and Furious, because we still don't have the answers, even though they are long overdue to the American people.
Yeah. Back to the fiscal cliff. Obama vows no compromise on taxes. Why can't you come out and say, okay, no compromise on spending?
Well, and that's, you know, again, this is, to me, that's where I'm at, because we cannot agree to a tax increase. That's not the solution. That's not going to solve our $16 trillion debt. That's what I am urging our leaders, Speaker Boehner and others, to make sure that they're adhering to. The president has increased this debt by over $5 trillion the last 4 years. Even with his tax increase, we would still see the deficits increase by over $900 billion a year for the next 5 years at least.
Yeah. Speaker Boehner's getting some criticism here. There's an undercurrent here saying, look, there's a sense that there's some compromise brewing here and letting these fiscal Tea Party conservatives go, basically, or taking them off these finance committees. This doesn't look well. Is there something going on behind the scenes about Speaker Boehner, sir?
I don't believe so. If there is, he's got a conference to not only deal with, but he's got to find the votes to pass the package, and I certainly don't think, and I think he knows that the conference does not support a tax increase, that there is no will to increase taxes amongst the Republican Party and the House majority. Again, we got elected as a majority in November, just a month ago, because we stood strong against this president, saying his fiscal policies are destroying this country. Here's our plan. That's why we think we have a better opportunity going forward.
But you're the House. There's still the Senate.
There's still the Senate, and obviously Harry Reid has been a major impediment to progress. And part of the problem we're in today is because they have failed to do anything over there. They failed to pass a budget in 3.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very frustrating here on Main Street trying to figure out what the heck is going on with you guys back in Washington here. What do you think's going to happen, Cory Gardner?
I think we will start to, if there's going to be a solution, I think we'll start seeing the outline, and I certainly hope that there is a solution, that one that does not increase taxes but focuses on cutting spending and growing the economy. I think we'll start to see that emerge by that weekend of the 22nd, 23rd. If not, again, my commitment is to be there throughout the holidays and making sure that we're solving this for the American people.
Yeah. Did you see the movie Lincoln yet?
It's incredible. In fact, I saw it with some other members of Congress, and it is a very good show.
You know, I bring that up because I've seen it 3 times. It's unbelievable, and I'll be happy to see it 4 times. What struck me, among other things, of course, the tremendous acting, but was the contentious nature. Of course, we weren't that far removed from Britain at the time, but the contentious nature between you guys there on the floor over, in this case, Amendment the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery. But, you know, you used to, in that chamber, you guys used to call each other names. I think we need to get back to that.
it's interesting, too, because people talk about partisanship and name-calling, and you saw it over 100 years ago, and you do see it today. But bottom line is, it's not going to solve problems. We've got to put people together in a room and throw out the key and make sure that people are getting the job done.
When you're sitting there at that desk, final question, when you're sitting there at that desk representing us here, I mean, do you have a sense of the weight that is on you there and the history and all that, speaking about Lincoln, and where this country is now relative to our debt and just, you know, it just feels like we're in this very confusing, there's a pall or a cloud over America. Do you sense that at all? Are you optimistic or more pessimistic as you sit at that desk?
There is certainly a weight on every one of us, because not only is it a situation that we're dealing with now, a poor economy, trillions of dollars in debt, but it's about what happens to this country, a country that we were handed to by generations before us as a very strong country, and what happens to us going forward. Do we hand off a strong country or a weaker country? And our obligation is to hand off a stronger country to the next generation. Yeah. We're in a tough spot right now, but I am always optimistic about the American people and how we will build a better country.
All right. By the way, whose desk you sit at? Because I know they carve their... Don't you carve your name in there? Whose desk...
You know, those desks are no longer there on the House floor. They're on the Senate floor, and so there's no assigned seating on the House floor. So we just have chairs, and that's all we get in the House. The Senate gets the furniture.
You don't stick your gum underneath it, do you, Corey?
Talk about budget cuts.
I'm afraid to reach my hand under the chair.
Well, listen, Merry Christmas, but until,
but
I guard that Merry Christmas, if you guys don't get some kind of deal worked out, or let's just go over the cliff and be done with it here, one way or the other.
Well, the EPA has banned coal in stockings this year, so be careful.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's right, the coal industry is upset about that.
No doubt.
Congressman Cory Gardner, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, our 4th Congressional District Representative Cory Gardner.